You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So you think about this. How do you stay hot in a lukewarm world? And the reason why I say that is, you know, when you are lukewarm with the things of God, he says very specifically, Jesus does in his scripture, in the book of Revelation, he talks about how he will respond to us based on being hot, cold, or lukewarm. And of course, lukewarm is somebody that's complacent. You know, you're just, you're not here, you're not there, you're not yes, you're no. You live in the maybes, and there's a lot of maybes. And as a matter of fact, let's listen to Mike Bickle, International House of Prayer, where he is speaking specifically how to stay hot in a lukewarm world. And he's talking specifically about the church in America and the church worldwide. He's seeing how we've all become lukewarm. And the one thing that's happening right now that's consistent across the globe is the globe is wealthier, less people are in poverty than ever been before. We have better things going for us to make us more comfortable, make things more convenient. But what is it causing us to do? Possibly be lukewarm. Let's listen to Mike now. Mike Bickle.
First of all, he says, I am the Amen. Then secondly, I'm the faithful and true witness. Thirdly, I'm the beginning of the creation of God. Let's look at each one of those facets of his ministry. Because again, these three are not the only ones, but they are particularly important to overcoming lukewarmness. So they ought to be like top of our list to say, okay, we really want to grasp this. Because I think that spiritual lukewarmness is one of the most common, or I don't know if that's the right word, descriptions of the church, not just even in the West, around the world. The body of Christ is struggling with spiritual lukewarmness. And I believe in the early days of the generation of the greatest revival in history, where the church is going to shake off the lukewarmness and walk in her identity as a cherished bride, the Spirit and the bride crying, come, Lord Jesus, and the bride will be prepared for his coming because she'll be walking in wholehearted love for him and for one another.
And he talks about, Mike continues to talk about, we'll make this whole thing available to you at the VFN, VFNKB on the torch. But understand this, that it's one of the signs of the last days where the church becomes lukewarm. And, you know, Mike is saying that it's a worldwide church issue thing. Mm-hmm. And I love Mike because Mike can talk about a serious issue where the text is saying, and thou wilt lose thy life, you know, whatever it is, just some major, you know, you lose your life or something. And he goes, well, I don't know if God really meant he's going to lose your life or not. But I know, and specifically when he says, you know, very, scripture is to the church of Laodicea, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, I'll spew you, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And it's like, whatever that means, it doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good at all.
Especially
the first time I read that scripture, yeah. I go, wow, God actually has those feelings. You know, I was new in the Lord.
Right.
And so many times people disassociate with God with the idea that he could actually be upset, that he could be angry, that he could be hurt or dissatisfied.
Right.
And that's a definite dissatisfied response from an awesome God.
Right. And so you're looking at, you know, I understood that kind of lightly in the context of why would anybody have a problem drinking something kind of lukewarm? But then I met Pat. Pat does not like things lukewarm. I'm like, that's, you know, you think about that, but God's, he doesn't like that person who's just, how many people today, if you ask them a question, they won't say yes or no, they'll say maybe. Or you ask them, where do you stand on the country? They won't be clear on what they stand on the country. Where do you stand with God? They won't be clear on what they stand with God. You know, what are your values? They won't be open because they're saying, like, I don't want to tell you my true values. Can I tell you my true values? You might not like me. And this compromise, where we have this compromised life, and you look at lukewarm state, and that's the last thing. I mean, Jesus was obviously not a compromiser. He didn't compromise. He wasn't lukewarm. He was very specific. He was very loving. And he was very direct in how to deal with things, direct in his love, direct in his compassion, but also direct in his responses to people. He was pretty clear. He was very clear about how the Father's heart is towards us. And so some of the things that thinking about, when you think about how can we stay, you know, hot and not lukewarm, is focus on, and this is what Mike's talking about, and further in this talk that he had, is to understand that God is faithful and true. He's faithful and true, which means what he says, what God says, you can bank on it. You can bank on it. And you can also bank on this. The people who don't bank on it are going to be living a life totally different than what God says. So you can't look at the majority of folks and where they're going. You just have to look at what God is saying and understand that I can put my trust in God. So somebody who is hot and they're not lukewarm, that's somebody that is trusting God. They just, like, God said it. That's it. I know my life does not look like that right now, but I'm holding on to that. It may take time for that to manifest in my life, but I know it. If God said it, he's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. When he speaks, he fulfills it. All of his promises are yes in Christ mm-hmm. Jesus. So one way to stay hot is it's not like you can't force yourself. You can't actually just go like, I'm going to start being hot now. And that's the end of a destructive road right there, where all of a sudden that, you know, you're going to, you know, like Romans chapter 7, you're going to have all these great plans how you're going to start being hot, no longer lukewarm. It's going to fail. What's going to succeed is understanding the grace of God to be hot and locking into the promises of God. You have to not only know the promises of God or learn them, but you have to believe them, and then you need to speak them back to God. God wants you to say, when he says he's faithful and true, you can say to God, God, you are faithful and true. Everything that you said, when you're talking to God, when you're talking to him, understand this, that you can look him in faith in his eye, and you can say, you are faithful and true, you know, and you can, whatever his promises are. And so when you do that, God's seeing you, because normally it is in the world, the opposite of what God is saying, and then it manifests despite what they're doing. So you have to believe God. For example, he told Israel, I'm going to free you from slavery. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, the first thing they physically saw was a desert, a wilderness. I mean, there's no milk, there's no honey, there's no water unless God brought it from a rock. So they had to believe God, his promises, that he was going to do what he said he's going to do. But we go through the promise, the principle, and the provision of the principle. And so he wants us in the middle of our wilderness type experiences to believe him despite what people are saying. And that's how we stay hot. And then he was going to bring them into the promised land. And he had to believe. He said, I'm going to give them into your hands. But they didn't believe the promises of God. And so they were too afraid to actually go in. And so God was so upset, he actually let them die in the wilderness and just took in, you know, a few others, the younger people who finally grew to a certain mm-hmm. point with Joshua. And Caleb, they went on in to the land and they took it because they believed God. You know, he believed God that Joshua did, that God would do exactly what he said to do. So we get back from this break. We're going to talk about, you know, some of the promises of God. And there's so many of them. We're going to talk about a couple of them. But understand this. It's not just the good promises. We have to believe every promise that God made. So if he says specifically that, you know, I'd rather you be cold or hot and not lukewarm, one of his promises is, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you or spew you out of my mouth. That doesn't sound good, does it? And the thing about it is, like, okay, that's a promise. So we can say, God, I know that you don't want me to be lukewarm. I don't have it within my own abilities. I know it's by your grace to be hot. But Lord, I'm asking you, make me hot. Set me on fire and passion-wise for you. Lord, I want to lock into your promises. So we're talking about the promises of God. One way for us to be able, through the grace of God, to be able to stay hot, of course, is asking God, but to remember what God said and locking into his promises, soaking on them, believing them, speaking them back to him. And I think of the first promise right here, John, what is Exodus 14:4? Read that to us right there.
The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
How often are we in some sort of battle?
Yeah.
You know, and you want to, like, what do I need to do? And it's like, just be still and trust God, right?
God's saying, I got this. Relax.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, that was happening when the disciples were on the boat and it was getting all, the storm was going. Jesus was still, right, and trusting the Father.
Yeah.
And he was asleep in the boat while they were saying, don't you even care? We're going to die. We're going to perish. Right? And Jesus is like, oh, you of little faith. So great faith would have been just trusting God. And one way is the Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still, right?
So this is a promise that we can lock into,
yes,
hold on to, that'll help us to be on fire.
Yes, and I know one businessman once that told me, he's like, why aren't you doing this and this? And it's like, this is actually when I go out and get a nice meal and relax when things are looking really rough.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to do that, and things began to change in his business. Because then you're trusting God and good food, because you're going to get a meal, right? Next is what? Exodus 20:12, another promise that we can lock into. John, read that for us.
Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you.
So honoring your father is not just a awesome thing to do to your father and mother, honoring them, but also has impact on your life. And so many people are struggling in their life because they lived a life of dishonor yep. of their parents, you know, not honoring them. And it doesn't say your parents have to be right. It doesn't say they have to be saved or anything. You just have to just honor them and you know, allow God to handle anything that's going on.
That's
but
right.
the promise is, if you do that, you can hang on and say, God, I have honored my parents. I have honored my mother. I've honored my father. And you can hang into this promise that you'll have a long life and it will be a prosperous life.
That's right. It's one of the only commandments that comes with a promise. So hold on to it.
It's beautiful, though. If you want to see something that's beautiful, it's how a daughter or a son will honor their parents. There's mm-hmm. nothing like it. If you want to know how your husband is going to treat you or your prospective husband, find out how he treats his mother.
True.
Right? Oh my goodness. Okay, yeah, if it's good, it's good. You know. So another promise is Isaiah 40:31. John, read that to us.
But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar to wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Which means is, don't hope in politics. Don't hope in a man. Don't hope in a woman. Don't hope in your ideas, your business, your schemes. Don't hope in some political affiliation. Hope, keep your hope in God. And hope is this. Hope is a desire with an expectation of obtaining that which you desire. So it's not just some, you know,
it's not a wish. It's not a dream.
Yes, that's good. It's not a wish.
It's a hope with, you're right. Yeah. You're expecting that thing to come to pass.
Because he fulfills his promises.
Absolutely.
He's faithful to his word.
And just.
Right. And so this is one way. It's like, ah, wait a minute. I could just have hope in the Lord during this difficult time. He's going to renew my strength. There's going to be a day that I'm going to spread my wings again. I'm going to fly. But in this process, I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to put my hope in God. And that's a positive thing to most, to men would think, how could that be positive?
That's right.
You need to do something. You know, go borrow money. Go get a different job. Go move your house. Go do
That's called misplaced hope. You got to go find your hope and gather your hope and put it in on the Lord. People have their hope spread out on all different things, but God is the one that wants it. You know, your hope.
It's called hope and no change. Anyway, so Isaiah 41:10.
So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. It's powerful.
That's odd. And you think, so do not fear. So if we're fearing, we're not trusting God.
No.
And sometimes, you know, we're convinced sometimes that I'm supposed to be worrying.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be worrying. We're supposed to be, aren't we supposed
to be
worrying?
That's what a responsible person does, is worry and pace all night, right?
I'm seeing people illegally come into our country by 100,000 at a time that could fill a city bigger than populations of city. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. As a matter of fact, you can trust God all the way through it. And listen, don't fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Another promise. There's so many promises, and we're going to put many of them on the torch so you can see them. But this last one I want to close with is so important because it's Acts 27:25, and the ship was going down. Everybody was going to go down. They asked Paul, what do you think? God visited him and told him this. So he said, take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as he told me that it will be. You can trust God. And guess what? It happened. They landed on shore. They were all safe. No one drowned. Just like God said what will happen. Trust God and you will actually stay in a hot area. I just want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing over our audience. I pray encouragement over Father God. And Lord, even as they post and write their comments about what we're talking about the promises of God, Lord, encourage them in that, Father God. And Lord, we ask you, dear God, end abortion. Send revival, send a third great awakening. We ask this in Jesus' name. And I want to remind you, don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.